You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Alan Cumming won a Tony Award for his portrayal of the MC in the 1998 revival of Cabaret, and now he's starring with Diane Wiest in the classic stage company production of Chekhov's The Seagull. Its run has just been extended until April 13th, and I'm pleased that it has brought him back to this show today. It's always a pleasure to see you.
Thanks, Len. Nice to see you.
How did you come to be a part of this production? Had you ever appeared in The Seagull before?
No, but I'd... since drama school, actually, it was a part of our training. It was a Chekhov sort of, you know, lump. And I'd been fascinated with him, and I'd really wanted to do The Seagull. I always thought I was going to be Constantine. I just left it too long, so now I'm Trigorin. but I've never, done a Chekhov play professionally. I did Ivanov once on the radio for the BBC a long time ago, which I'd actually forgotten about until recently. And so, this just came about because... really through my agent, Joe, at CAA, he just sort of said, this would be a good thing for you to do, don't you think? And I was like, yeah. And I'm so glad, actually, because it's been an amazing experience.
Well, Chekhov and Shakespeare are probably the two playwrights most people, at least who speak English, would want to be in, even though Chekhov wrote in Russian. For some reason, I think of him as a writer in English. The French probably want to be in Molière somewhere as well. Because he's one of the great classic playwrights. And these parts are just fabulous, aren't they?
They are great parts because they're sort of so multi-layered. And in a way, he invented, or his writing was the catalyst for the sort of modern way of acting that we have. And so that's kind of interesting to be doing something that's set in the late 19th century, but feels so contemporary. And it's been interesting. Our director in this production is a Russian man called Slava Dolgachev. And so it's been really interesting sort of understanding the sort of Russian sensibility and adding that to this production. It's been fascinating, actually.
Well, Chekhov has always been a bit controversial in Russia. Supposedly, Tolstoy read an early play of Chekhov's and said it's almost as bad as Shakespeare. Yeah. And The Seagull, which is now generally considered Chekhov's first masterpiece, was booed, wasn't it? By the audience the first time it was performed?
Yeah, the first time it was performed, everyone booed it and it was a disaster. But then Stanislavski came along and redid it. He didn't do the first one, you see. And then so it was sort of the relationship between Stanislavski and Chekhov that was kind of, you know, his style evolved. And he met his sort of perfect person to interpret his plays.
Because Stanislavski introduced a more naturalistic approach to acting?
Yeah, I mean, I think Stanislavski's thing was about, you know, I mean, there's a lot of Chekhov's stuff is that you are saying one thing, but really there's something else going on. And Stanislavski was very much about what has just been happening in your life. You know, what have you been thinking and doing right before you walk on the stage? All that sort of stuff. So those two sort of thoughts kind of merged really well and made people kind of seem more three-dimensional and not so kind of presentational. And then that's sort of the Method School of Acting in America, sort of a bastardized version of that.
Well, you do this with an American accent.
I do. Yeah. I just thought I should blend in because everyone else is American. And we're all supposed to be Russian anyway, so. But yeah, I do it with my quasi-American accent.
Well, you've lived here for a while now, haven't you? Aren't you almost a dual citizen, and American?
I nearly actually really am a dual citizen of British and America. I'm in the process of doing that. I was supposed to do it earlier, but I did something wrong with my tax returns, so I had to wait. But I've lived in New York for 10 years now. I mean, I've had a place in New York for 10 years, so I'm an official New Yorker.
Well, you have what I would hear as a strong Scottish accent, and yet I'll bet when you go back home, people say, Alan, you sound so American.
I do get a bit of that. Although last summer I did a play in Scotland, and you know what, because I was there and surrounded by Scottish people, and when I came back, my friends here were like, oh my God, you sound so thick again. It's really crazy. But my mum always sort of, you know, brings me that back down to size. She said to someone, she was here recently, she said, someone said, oh, Alan's never lost his accent. And she went, no, he's just got posher.
So the American accent has made you sound a little more upper class.
Yeah, I think so. And also it's words, certain words, of course, that you forget and you go back and you say things like, oh, could I have the check, please? And mind you don't fall off the sidewalk, and everyone's like, ew, you know. Mm.
You don't say schedule, you say schedule.
I know.
There are many translations of The Seagull. Michael Frayn and Tom Stoppard have both done it. This one is by Paul Schmidt. Mm. What's the difference? Have you seen those other productions?
Other productions of those
translations? Because when you talk about a great playwright like Frayn or Stoppard, you're really talking about a collaboration between Chekhov and the translator,
absolutely,
aren't you?
And I think I might have seen the Michael Frayn one. I've seen the Seagull so many times, but I can't remember all the different adaptation people. But this one, it was interesting. I read the other day the Uncle Vanya that he did. We had a reading of that, and that was the first one he did of Chekhov's plays, and it's kind of very colloquial, and this is quite
American colloquial.
Yeah,
the Schmidt version.
Yeah, like he says things like, you know, I'm a total freak. Mm-hmm. Like Astrov says that a few times, and I think Arwa, the Seagull, isn't quite as colloquial as that, but it's definitely, you know, it's less grand, and I think, and it's less sort of, and it makes you be more naturalistic, and I think that can only help, and that's completely what Chekhov would have wanted, and what Slava has led us to believe is the way to do it. So I really enjoyed his translation. Also, what was great was having a Russian there and all these translators in the room that you could say, what's this in the Russian, and if there was little kind of nuances that were different, we just changed them.
Well, you're calling him Slava, so I'll call him Slava Dolgachev. He's done his interviews in Russian with a translator. Mm. Does he speak English?
He does a wee bit. I mean, but when you
so what happens when he's directing you?
He used to do through a translator. It's kind of weird, obviously, but because you sort of look at someone, you're looking at someone who's speaking, but then you have to look at someone else who's actually translating for you. And you have this weird sort of. I think it's really fascinating what kind of world the translators exist in, this kind of middle nowhere land. And they said that they actually never really hold on to what he said. They just get, it just sort of flows through them, so they never kind of really take in what he's saying, which I think must be really odd. But sometimes he does speak a little bit of English, but like he says things like, he said to me one time, I did a scene, and he went, Alan, if you do this scene worse than this, I kill you. So that was the kind of that was the direction we got.
Well, that's an interesting note from a director.
Yeah.
he is considered an expert on Chekhov, and he's approached this more as a comedy than some. Chekhov called it a comedy, but most people play it as a kind of a ironic comedy, tragic with some comic notes. Mm. This one is more overtly comedic.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I've always thought that, you know, you hear that when Chekhov's performed in Russia, people are rolling in the aisles and, you know, and everything. And I think in a way, being Scottish, I kind of have a little more of an understanding of the sort of darkness of the soul that everyone bashes on about with the Russians, in that you find humour in darkness. And I think that's what this production, it feels to me is, you know, it feels more... Well, it's more Russian, of course, because it's a Russian sensibility behind it, which is humor, great humor, and great laughing at people because they're so desperate and they're all, you know, they're all drama queens. Every single character is a moaning old drama queen, and they don't.
This
they
is all about theater.
It's all about the theater, and it's all about people not being happy with their lot, being so much in pain, but they just they don't do anything to change it. They're in this sort of stasis situation. And it's just really, it's hilarious. And then, of course, it's terrible things happen. But you, even in the midst of these terrible things, you laugh. And I think that's what people haven't really done before with Chekhov.
But do you think it's one of the reasons actors love this play so much? Because it's about something that they can really, they've heard this stuff in their own lives. Maybe not as eloquently said.
And probably, hopefully not as dramatic incidents, but yeah, I think so. It's sort of very, you know, you're very tremulous when you do it because you're sort of on a high wire because you go between terrible things and then also saying terrible things that you know will be funny, which is kind of like real life. You know, people say to you, "Oh, stop moaning," or laughing at funerals or something like that. You know, it's got all that kind of side to it, which I really enjoy it.
Well, the director, Dolgachev, is used to working with a repertory company, which means long rehearsals, and you didn't have that luxury here. But What was it like working with somebody who comes out of a very different tradition? In the end, is it the same as working with an American director or a British director?
No, it was very different. I mean, in terms of the time, he kind of freaked out a little bit at the start because he was so, you know, he kept going, in Russia, you know, and we're like, well, you're not in Russia now, and let's get on with it.
But this is also an ensemble work, and it's important to get the cast
absolutely.
All together.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that was hard. And also, I had to go away for a week in the middle of it because I'd already, my mum came and it was her 70th birthday, and I'd already arranged to take her away, and I was like, you know, can't let my mum down. So I had this weird time of being away, learning my lines in Costa Rica on the beach. But it was, you know, actually we bonded together very well, and I think we knew we had to kind of, you know, take several steps very fast in terms of getting to know each other. But I think the biggest thing was in the way that he worked with you, that he didn't micromanage each. You know, normally when you do a scene like this, you would like stop and you would examine each moment and you would blah blah. With this one, you would do it all the way through, and then he would sort of talk to you about it in a very general and specific, but not specific to moments way. So the next time you came to do it, it was almost you were geared up, you knew you weren't going to stop, and so you would have to find those moments. And I actually preferred it. It felt much more like you're going to the end of a phrase in a piece of music rather than stopping all the time.
Well, obviously he didn't feel the necessity to kill you, but as you
survived.
As you play Trigorin, he's a shy, modest man, at least on the outside, but it's important to get across that that's just a pose.
Yeah, I mean, he's... yeah, I don't know.
That's my read of what you've done there. He's presenting himself in a certain way, but actually, he sees himself a little differently.
Well, I don't know. I think he's kind of awkward and shy, in real life. But then, of course, that's what I think is hilarious. You know, that's very Chekhovian, that, you know, someone says, "Oh, I'm so shy," and blah blah. Then they talk for like 20 minutes.
Yeah, well, they're all self-absorbed.
And
these people.
What pain he's in. And I mean, and also he's, you know, in a way, I think he's kind of very much an archetypal man, in that he has a successful man who has everything, and yet he wants to destroy, or he nearly destroys it. And he goes off with a younger woman, and he, you know, has all the success but can't actually enjoy it because he's sort of tortured by it and things. So I don't know, it's kind of hard to talk about someone when you're in the middle of them. I haven't quite, you know, it's only later usually that you... And it's harder with the theatre because you can't look at it, you know, you don't see it at 2 o'clock in the morning on some cable channel when you're in a hotel and think, oh, that's what I was doing in that scene.
So this is also performed in relatively in the round, isn't it? Or three,
yeah.
The audience on three sides.
Yeah, I love that.
That really has to affect the way you also approach a part, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Well, in terms of, what's great is that, you know, I love the theatre because it's the Classic Stage Company, because the acting space is like double the audience space, and that's so rare. And I love how it's quite a boisterous production. We kind of run around a lot, and there's a lot of kind of movement.
Somebody even said Marx Brothers.
There's some quite gawky bits, yeah. And then, you know, literally if you take off and you're thundering across the stage, you can see the people like gather their bags and kind of turn away and get scared, and you touch them and things, and you're very involved with the audience, and I love that. I mean, I don't know. I my first sort of things in the theatre were stand up comedy, so I'm very. I like the feeling that I'm engaging with the audience, and there's no fourth wall. And it's interesting that, you know, Chekhov was the sort of, and Stanislavski was, his whole thing was about the fourth wall, and here we are, and there's no walls really. There's one wall.
You also have a number of film projects in the works. Anything you want to plug? I know you directed a second film called Suffering Man's Charity.
Yes, that's going to be changed now to Ghostwriter. Mm-hmm. People have changed it.
It's been a number of film festivals.
All over the place, yeah. I think it's coming out quite soon. There's still these protracted legal things about films. It's kind of crazy. And I did another film called Boogie Woogie, which I shot in London last year about the art world, which I'm looking forward to. It was really great. It's about, you know, that Mondrian painting, Broadway Boogie Woogie, mm-hmm. And it's just a really great lot of people, and I really enjoyed that. Actually, and my character was the nicest person. He was a nice artist who, of course, has to kill himself. You know how it is.
All the nice ones do that.
All the nice ones do.
I want to thank you so much for being with us, Alan Cumming, who, along with this fabulous cast, including Annette O'Toole and Diane Wiest and David Rashi and who else?
John Christopher Jones and Kelly Garner and Ryan O'Nan and Ryan Homchick and there's other people.
Well, it's
Greg
okay.
And,
we love them all.
We love them all.
They are all in this new production of The Seagull by Anton Chekhov, translated by Paul Schmidt and directed by Vyacheslav Dolgachev.
Dolgachev, yes.
For the Classic Stage Company, the CSC. And where is the theater?
It's on 13th Street, just west of 3rd Avenue, 13th and 3rd.
And thank you so much for being with
Thanks,
us.
Thanks, Glenn. It's nice to see you again.
The Seagull, as I said, runs through April 13th at the Classic Stage Company at 136 East 13th Street. For more information, you can go to our show page at WNYC.org. Up next, we exchange a Scottish brogue for an Irish one. Gabriel Byrne will be here to talk about his demanding role as a therapist in the incredible HBO series In Treatment. This is WNYC and WNYC.org.